city lights looking fine, and I know this is my time now. I'm gonna be myself, or I could be someone else. No one's stopping me now. I'm gonna skip my breaks, I'm gonna make mistakes. I just wanna feel alive. It's just what I do when I'm out, so try not to hold me down. Feel alive when I'm in this town.
Hey, this is Champaign, Illinois native Emily Harrington coming to you from Kitchen Table Studios in the ever-evolving, sometimes boring, flatlands of Champaign-Urbana for the next podcast episode of Hyperlocals, where townies and transplants share their tales of tears and triumphs, losses and wins. So stay tuned to catch the characters behind the beloved Twin Cities of CU. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the next episode of the Hyper Locals podcast. I have a new-ish friend that I met, I guess it was about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, and I walked into her new burgeoning business, coaxed by a couple other girlfriends, and we met her, and she was a delight, and we got to spend the day with her setting out on her new venture. So we'll kind of talk to that. But I have Nicole Allen, and we've spent the last few minutes kind of talking about if she's considered a townie. And some people get kind of defensive about that title, where I think it's looked down upon. Like, if people call me a townie, I feel like it's kind of a put down. What do you think about that?
I don't really see it that way.
And you have almost lived in Champaign for half of your life.
Almost. Yep.
So you would regard yourself as a townie?
I guess so. I got to earn that title from you.
We need the definition. So maybe the definition should be if over 50% of your life is lived here, I think you get the designation.
I like that.
So you're close.
I'm like 2 years away.
Okay. In 2 years, we'll revisit.
Officially.
Yes. Yeah. Then you told me about your husband, Spencer Allen. I said his name is familiar in some circle, in some way. His name resonates with me. And I said, did he go to Centennial? And you said he is from a small town outside of Champaign.
Yeah. So I said he grew up right outside of Champaign in Champaign County. Does that make him a townie?
Okay. And what's the town he's from?
First, he lived in Allerton for a while and then moved to Homer. So
okay.
He went to Heritage High School.
Heritage High School. To me, it's Champaign Central, it's Centennial, now STM, or Urbana would constitute a townie. But so maybe if you like grocery shop here, if you come, quote, into town.
Right, coming into town.
Coming into town, you should also be a townie.
Maybe there's another term that you need to come up with for that.
Townie adjacent.
I like it.
But would Spencer think that's, you know, wrong? Do you know what I mean? Townie adjacent. Is that not as good? Do you know what I mean?
It's not as good.
All right. Well, I'm going to think about this and maybe I'll have to redefine it, but right now you're close.
I'm close.
You're very close. So in 2 years, again, we'll get there. So tell me where you grew up.
I grew up in Western Illinois.
Okay.
A town called Ursa, Illinois. There's only 600 people in that town. It's very small.
600 people.
Yeah. We're like right north of Quincy, which is the next biggest town.
I can picture like the sign for Ursa. If I'm going whatever, you know, somewhere, I can picture it because it's kind of an unusual name.
It is.
600 people. What high school and how big was your high school?
Actually, my high school was called Unity High School as well. Other Unity. I graduated with 47 people.
That is so small.
So small.
47 people. Okay. In your graduating class. And do you have a stoplight?
Nope.
Wow.
Gas station, post office, bank.
Bar. There's always
a
bar.
Yes, there's a bar.
Okay. What did your parents do? They work in that town?
Yes. I grew up on a farm.
Okay. So you come from like an ag background.
Ag background. Yep.
Is your dad a bona fide farmer?
No, he actually works for a corporation. So I grew up on a seed farm. Like, we raised corn and soybeans, grew it, and sold that to farmers.
Okay.
So, like 13 years old, I was detasseling corn. Do you know what that means?
I do. That was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
It was the best way hardest way for kids, young kids, to make money.
Yeah. 13, you turn 13, you can go make
you get money. On a bus.
Get on a bus.
Super early in the morning.
6 a.m.
And you're there in the heat.
Because it's in July.
Oh, gosh.
So it's super hot. So you, that's why you have to start so early, because it's like 6 to 12,
12:30. I never did it, but girlfriends did. And they'd come back, and it was a great way to meet guys.
Yeah. And it was always like during the fair. So yes. You're like, you're detasseling in the morning, going to the fair at night.
Get a great tan.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, no, you have to wear long sleeves so you don't get like cut up by the corn.
And what are you physically doing when you're detasseling?
So there's female rows of corn.
Oh my God.
And then there's male rows of corn that surround them. So you're pulling the tassels so that doesn't like pollinate itself. And then the male will like fertilize the female.
That is crazy. So you are like making a romantic situation for the corn.
Yes.
For them to breed. Yeah. That is so wild. That is so wild. So you are a farmer's daughter, and do you have siblings?
I have a little sister. Yep.
You do. So you're the big, okay.
Yep.
And what was high school like for you? Were you the homecoming queen?
Nope.
Nerdy?
No, I just kind of in the middle.
In the middle.
I think.
Of 47 kids. Did you know everybody?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How was that environment? Like, did you like the small town feel?
Like, that's all that I knew.
Okay.
So I did. Like, it was great. People could come over. We'd ride four-wheelers, dirt bikes, play in the woods, like the creek. But then it was, like, pretty overwhelming to come here to college.
Why did you choose not to go to Western?
Because I'm the fourth generation in my family to go to U of I.
Wow. Okay. So you applied.
I didn't know if I would get in. Like, my grades were okay, but I was like, there's a lot of pressure here. Like, obviously my dad really wanted me to come to U of I. So yeah, I got in.
So he was ready for you to fly the coop.
Oh, I think so.
Because he wanted to
relive his days over here.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay. So you come here, move-in day. Do you know anyone? Is your roommate your friend?
No, I didn't know her.
How was your roommate?
She was nice.
Okay. Nice.
It was great until she like started having her boyfriend sleep over.
The worst.
And then he would like snore.
She
would
worst.
Turn on the TV all night. So I ended up switching roommates like at semester. I moved in with another girl from another small town, and we like met and connected. And so second semester was better.
So it was uncomfortable enough that you switched.
Yes.
Do you remember the conversation like, hey, this isn't working out?
Yeah, I was just like, I think I'm going to move in with my other friend.
And she was cool with that?
Oh, okay.
Nicole, that's so sad.
I was already having a hard enough time here, like being over here by myself and not having a great roommate situation, not knowing anyone. It was a lot.
When you think about it, you're in this little twin long bed, and the girl...
I was on the top bunk also. Like, she just gave me that. Like, she moved in first.
And below you are this girl and her stranger boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Nicole, can I have him over or anything like that?
Nope.
Okay, so you find a friend, a small town girl you're connecting with, and you're like, I got to move in with her.
Yeah.
And she had a similar situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you still hang out with her today?
I don't anymore, actually. She left U of I, like, after freshman year. She's like, I'm out.
I couldn't do it.
I kind of wanted to do the same, but I was, like, encouraged to stay. I'm so glad I did. Like, it got so much better.
What did it feel like? What emotions were you having that first semester, first year?
Oh, it was just, like... I don't know, kind of like lonely and just like finding like my place and who I was. Of course, my dad's like, you gotta like go through recruitment. And I wanted to do it.
So he encouraged you to rush.
He did.
A sorority. Was he a frat guy?
Yeah.
In Aggers?
No, he was in Acacia, actually.
Okay.
He didn't do Ag because he's like, I'm going to be an Ag for the rest of my life. So
yeah, let's branch out. Smart.
Branch out. Yeah.
So what was going through recruitment like?
Well, when he dropped me off at college, we like, look at some of the houses, and you know, he's like, these are really good and these aren't. And
oh,
of course,
God.
Like, it doesn't matter, like, really where you end up.
Yeah.
And like, times change. Like, that's what I learned, like, going through it. I'm like, oh my gosh, my dad said this one wasn't that great. Like, they're inviting me back. What do I do?
Yeah.
But like, it was totally different from when he was here. So I went through like the whole process. People like thought I was from, they're like, are you from Texas? Are you from Tennessee? Like, you have a Southern accent. I'm like, what? Like, no,
that is so funny.
I'm from Illinois, like Central Illinois.
Majority of them are probably Chicago.
They are. They really are.
So even yes. I have an accent to them.
Yeah. And they're like, you grew up on a farm. I'm like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be saying that.
Let's not
like,
lead
I
with
was just
that.
Like really naive. Like, yeah. I am who I am.
Yeah.
And
you ended up rushing Delta Zeta, which is funny because like you were saying, like the Delta Zeta at U of I is probably different than Delta Zeta at ISU. It's all a little
probably
different.
Very different, yeah.
And it all kind of cycles yeah. in a different way.
But I dropped out of recruitment. Like, I went through the whole thing.
Nicole!
It was like, I didn't get Great Houses back at the end, and I knew it. And so I was like, called my parents crying. I'm like, I'm coming home. Like, I'm done with this school. I'm done with this recruitment thing. Like, I'm coming home right now. And they're like, no, you're not. You're not. I'm like, I'm driving home right now. I'm not coming back.
You put yourself out there.
I did.
And you didn't even get the choices that you really wanted back.
No.
Because you choose the sorority and they have to choose you is how the process works.
Right.
And it's literally written on a piece of
and
paper.
And I just
in the
didn't
end.
Know that it was like that big of a deal. Like, I was just pretty naive and just like laid back about it. I didn't really care. You know, I had like family like, do you want me to write you a letter? And I'm like, I don't need that. Like, just didn't know. So I dropped out. And then I was like, well, I really did want to like, because I didn't know anyone. So I'm like, that's a good way to like meet friends.
100%.
And so.
By your friends, as everyone would say.
So then there were like some houses doing informal recruitment and like some reached out. And so I started going to some of those events and I was like, okay, I don't want to wait another year to rush again. I definitely don't want to do that again. Yeah. So that's when I ended up joining, was like informal. And okay. I'm really glad that I did.
Like, so that's like halfway through the year. Is that right?
It's still at the beginning of the year.
Just not as intense.
It's not as intense, no.
So you ended up with Delta Zeta.
Mm-hmm.
And did that start to change your perception of college?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, immediately had, like, friends, people to hang out with. Like, things are turning around at that point.
Yeah. Did you
starting to have too much fun.
Okay. So before that, you weren't having much fun?
Not really.
Yeah.
No.
Were you a party girl in high school?
Not really. Not until like, I didn't really drink until like senior year.
Okay. No country cruising.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But like, but not until like later in high school. Like people definitely were, but I was like,
yeah,
like, kind of scared. I don't know.
Oh, that. Okay. So you go to college. Now you're in the sorority and you're getting your feet wet. You're feeling good. Did you find yourself starting to change who you were?
I think so.
For the
like
better?
Coming out of my shell, like, aww, for the better.
Yeah. Okay. And you're hanging out with this new group. You're going, what bars were you going to? I was a station girl.
Yeah, we went there. Cams, mostly.
Okay.
Cam's, my grandparents
so
met
gross.
At Cams.
No
fun
way.
Fact, at an exchange.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so funny. So, yeah, Cams.
And this is the old, gross tapeworm in the keg lines.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, Cams. Yes. It was a good one. Okay, so too much fun. Does that mean not great grades?
Yes.
Okay. Were you ever on probation?
Like, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Multiple times.
No way. Academic probation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were you kicked out of school?
I wasn't kicked out. I was like, I remember going.
I was shocked.
Like
by
you're
this.
Shocked, really?
Yes.
I know. This is like, should I be saying that? Are people going to judge me for this?
No.
Like, I did fine in, like, my gen eds, like, classes for my major. It was, like, random stuff. Like, Spanish, I didn't, like,
oh, I stink at Spanish.
I didn't have very much of that in high school. And, like, it's, like, a four-hour class, and they only speak in Spanish. I'm like, what? Like,
oh,
I struggle.
No.
Like, certain things, calculus, like, hard things, like, really brought down my GPA. And so I remember going, it was, like, the Greek ski trip, I think, sophomore year. And it was, like, my second or third time being on probation, and I like had to get I don't even remember what it was, but I was like frantically like checking during the strip just to like make sure that I could stay in school and like come back.
Oh,
and I did.
No.
I did. I graduated. I got a diploma.
In
I
what
got off probation.
Major?
Ag business.
Ag business. Mm-hmm. Okay. At some time in this 4 years, did it take four?
It took four.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. It was like by senior year, I only had classes like 2 days a week.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So like
okay.
I got it all in. Like it was fine.
Yeah.
I made it. I'm like, I made it.
Yeah. Okay. So Spencer, your now husband, where do you guys meet?
So since I was had an ag major and I had a lot of friends in ag, obviously. So it was at a frat party. It was at the Agger house.
Okay.
And I was just like hanging out with my friends. And there was this like room next door. There was a computer in there, like playing music, but nobody was in there. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go up to this computer and just like play what I like. And so it was kind of just going back and forth between like where my friends were hanging out and then like this room by myself. And then, so it was his room, him and his roommates.
Oh my gosh. And you're just touching his computer.
I didn't know them. And so I guess they were like looking and they're like, who's going to get this girl out of our room?
Oh my God. I can just picture this situation.
Yeah. And it was him. And so
that's he's like, well, I don't want her out of my room.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess.
And then digits exchanged.
So then like we hung out that night and then we went to class. I went to farm management class the next week and he was in that class.
Oh my gosh.
Like, but I just kind of acted like I didn't see him. I just like walked by and went up in the back and then he added me on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
After that.
Yeah.
And sent me a message. He was like, hey, can I give you a ride home from class in my new vehicle? And I'm like,
did he say new vehicle?
He said that. And I'm like, what? Okay, like, what could this be? He didn't tell me what it was. We're like walking out after class, and it was a golf cart.
Shut
parked
up.
At the bike rack.
That is so cute.
Yeah. It was a street legal golf cart. So he gave me a ride home. He just got it for like, I think it was his 21st birthday.
So you just use it to cruise around campus?
Yeah. So we would cruise around campus on that. We still have the golf cart to this day.
No way.
Use it on the golf course. Yeah.
That is so cute. So you're like, wow, this guy's got it together.
I guess I thought it was pretty cool.
He's got a golf cart. He's taking me home. And then that was kind of the beginning.
Yep.
And this is senior year?
No, this was my sophomore, end of my sophomore year, like the very end of my sophomore
year. So he kind of wrapped you up for those last 2 years of school. Like you had a boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we called it that like right away.
You were
for a little while, but yeah.
You were taken off the market.
Yeah.
Okay. And you both graduate at the same time?
He's a year older than me.
He's a year older. So he's going to the real world and you're finishing your senior year.
Yeah.
I can imagine that was difficult.
Yeah. Well, he lived here and he went home to work. So he would be here a lot.
Okay. Okay. And when did you live in the house?
Sophomore year.
What did you think of that?
It was fun.
It was fun.
Really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, getting ready and like surrounded by 30 girls. I mean, it was just such a wild time.
It really was.
But I was ready to get into an apartment. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you pull your apartment friends from the sorority?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yep. They remained?
Yep.
You still
yep.
close?
They're still close with
oh,
a lot
that's
of
so
them.
Sweet.
Yes.
Okay. So when do you and Spencer start your lives together? Meaning, when does he propose?
That was like, how many years after college? A few years after college. What do we? Was I 25 when I got married?
I know.
Yeah, a few years after college.
So young.
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. I know. So he goes into the ag business, which he's not a farmer per se, but he's kind of like your dad, like in that business, in that world.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Okay. He has an ag business.
Okay.
With like chemicals, fertilizer, seed.
Okay.
Providing inputs to farmers. Yep.
Which your dad was probably so freaking happy.
Oh my gosh, he was. He loved coming over here for football games and dad's weekend. And
you're marrying a guy like in his industry.
Oh yeah.
They'd always have something to talk about.
Always.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you, what do you do after school ends?
I got a job at a seed company.
Oh my gosh.
I thought I wanted, that's what I wanted to do, like seed sales.
Okay.
But like I was living here, I was a trainee, so I worked like with a salesman and I had this point where they're like, here's this list of like, I like go cold call on these people. It was in Piatt County. They're like, I had to like knock on these, like go up to a shed.
No.
And be like, yeah, like just a cold call. And I hated it. Like I would be like crying, like calling Spencer, calling my mom. Like, I can't do this. Why am I doing this? And like, people were always like nice to me, but I'm like, my agronomy knowledge wasn't that great, honestly. And so I was like, this sales thing is like not for me.
No, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
So you're physically going to a farm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, by myself in my truck.
Oh my God. With not good knowledge of what you're selling.
I mean, I did have knowledge. I'm like, I don't give myself enough credit. Like I did know like what I was selling and what I was doing, but.
How many sales did you make?
Not very many. Like, wow, it wasn't like my job to be like, go sell all this. Like, it was kind of just like starting a relationship.
Sure.
And like, here's our brand. So it wasn't like I was like required at that point. But I knew if I would get my own territory, I'm like, I do not want to be responsible for this. Like, I don't think I can do this.
That sounds awful.
As a 22-year-old girl. Yeah.
Oh my God. The farmers are probably looking at you like, who does she think she is?
They're very loyal.
to whoever they were working with before. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of trying to change their mind.
Right. Right. Because these are people that are not planting our products, so like of the brand that I was working
with. Yeah. For. Okay. How long does that job last?
So we did that for like a little bit less than a year. And I also like didn't know if I was going to get a job with that company. Like it probably wouldn't be in this area. And I wanted to be stay here. Yeah. We weren't married yet. But this is like prime farm country.
Sure.
So like it's like pretty cutthroat to get a job in agriculture here.
Wow.
So like I knew that probably wasn't very realistic, at least in sales. So my sister-in-law actually was working as an intern at another seed company in town, and they had a marketing job open, and I was like, I think that is more my speed. So I started there at a different, like a competitive, like a different seed company, and I worked in marketing for 9 years. Oh, I worked my way up. I was the marketing lead for like the majority of that time.
And what does that mean in terms of the job description?
There's seed guides, like a magazine with all of your products in it. So like helping with that, any ad campaigns, mailers, things like that, social media. I got to plan our incentive trips. So like we would, if a farmer bought a certain amount of seed, we would go take them. Like usually it was like somewhere warm, like Mexico or Jamaica. Okay. But I got to go to like Ireland.
Yes. Okay.
And like plan those, like help plan those trips and like coordinate it and get to go on them. So that was cool. Was
my like girlfriend really married a farmer and they go every year to like a sponsored trip.
Yes. That's what it was. So I got to like help with that. That was fun.
Was getting the job difficult? You said it's like a super competitive. You're this 22 year old girl.
Yeah. But this was a little different. I think sales would have been like a lot harder.
Really?
Being in the office and the marketing.
Okay. Okay. Do you remember, back to that terrible sales job, do you remember making a sale?
Yeah, I sold like 8 bags of seed to, or like, I think, I don't know, it might have been the first time. He's like, I'll try some of that. I'll take 8 bags. Nicole. I was like, okay.
So he pity bought some
probably.
Seed.
Probably.
That is, okay. Was it a commission-based job? Like you got money per bag?
Well, being a trainee, I just had a salary at that point.
Okay, okay. Well, that's good. Maybe not as motivating, but
right.
Good. Okay. So then you're married sometime in that 9 years of the marketing job.
Yep. Okay. Yep, the beginning of that.
And when do you decide to leave that job?
So I had kids. I like went through the pandemic, started working from home, had my son during that. And I was like, I want to spend more time with my kids. So I had went part-time, like the last year I was working there, I went part-time.
Okay.
I was so gracious that like they let me do that.
Sure.
But then I was kind of like, kind of want to do something more like for myself and like on my own schedule and my own terms.
Yeah. Was that hard for you to, it was hard for me to make the decision to, because it's kind of your identity.
It is.
Cutting off a paycheck, that independence, and becoming a mom by definition, right?
Right.
Was it a hard decision
for you? It was, but I'd been thinking about it. Like it was always in the back of my mind that I wanted to spend more time with my kids.
Yeah.
So it wasn't super hard.
Okay. So now you're a stay-at-home mom. Did you
I was working part-time. So I was like half and half.
Did you ever not have an income of your own?
No.
Okay. So when you decide to completely cut ties from that job, what do you pick up immediately?
So that's when I started House of Color.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay.
So I went straight from that job into what I'm doing now.
Okay. And this would allow you to be with your kids, work from home, and be your own boss.
Right.
How do you hear of House of Color?
So my sister and I were both working in ag, grew up in ag. So we were following the, she's a
Where's
friend.
Where's your sister at?
My sister's in Kentucky at this point.
Okay.
She does seed sales. She's really good at it. Oh, and she married a farmer down there. So.
Oh my, you're living parallel lives.
We are. But we were following Kylie, and she was a farm wife on social media, and she started doing House of Color, color analysis. And I was like, we're like, that is like really intriguing. That's really cool.
Is this the first time you'd heard about this concept?
This is the first time I've heard about it. Yes.
Okay. When I came to see you that day with my girlfriends, I told my mom what I was doing, and she said to me, I had that done like 2 decades ago.
In the 80s, probably.
Yes.
Yes. So once I found out about it, we like told my mom that we were doing this, and she's like, oh, I've done that. Like my grandmas have done that.
Color analysis. Mm-hmm. Tell me what color analysis is.
So we are finding, using this extensive draping process, your best color palette for like clothing, makeup, hair color, jewelry, all the things. So you can shop more intentionally. You can look more put together. Your wardrobe can mix and match, just making it easier to get dressed and get ready and also just feel great in your best colors.
And so I went to your house that day. It's a full day.
It is. You guys had three people.
Yeah,
so
three people.
It takes like an hour and a half to 2 hours per person. So,
and you really spend the time with each of us, literally draping almost hundreds of colors
a lot
around our neck.
Yep.
And we're facing a mirror.
In the natural light.
And okay, this is where it gets traumatic. You're in natural light. You have no makeup on.
Right.
And I have my natural hair color, so it was an issue for me, but my girlfriends didn't. So then they have to wear a white, kind of like what you'd wear in a kitchen.
Like a lunch lady cap.
Like a lunch lady cap.
I have headbands now, so it's a lot better, but they had the lunch lady caps.
So you're looking almost...
You want everything to be natural.
I get it.
That's why we cover up the hair if it's colored.
It's a hard thing to face.
It is. It can be very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
It is. It's for everybody. It's very vulnerable.
But you're trying to see what our most real tones, what colors you're going to drape on us, like little scarves almost. What makes our eyes pop, our teeth white, our skin clear.
Get brighter, lifted,
brighter.
Like your complexion smooths out in the right colors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we did each of us, and then you designate a season based on your opinion and the other people in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Emily, that looks really good. Oh, Emily, your eyes look brighter, your teeth look whiter, see. And we just kind of go through it all and narrow it down.
Yep.
To a season.
Yep.
Winter, summer, fall, and spring, right?
Yep, it's okay. Seasonal.
Okay.
Yep.
And you are a...
I'm a winter.
Winter. Okay. And you believe in this so wholeheartedly that you even changed your hair color recently.
I did.
You're a blonde and now you're a brunette.
Right.
Which you believe is as close to your natural color as possible.
Yeah. I'm trying to get closer to natural. So I used Sun In on my hair in fourth grade. I thought it was super cool and it turned my hair orange. And so my mom was like, we got to fix that. So I started getting highlights
in
fourth grade and I always have had...
You just keep going with it.
...blonde hair. But... I'm like, it's time to make a switch. Like your natural hair color harmonizes perfectly with the undertones of your skin. So if you're ever in question, like just go to natural. It's going to look great on you. I'm like, it's time to, I don't really know exactly what my natural is, but this dark hair is much closer than like the bleach blonde.
Could you describe those four seasons colors or are they so different?
They're different. So what we're finding first is if somebody has cool or warm undertones.
Mm-hmm.
And so spring and autumn are warm seasons. They have yellow undertone to those colors. And then winter and summer are our cool seasons. They have a blue-based undertone.
Okay.
So we're first finding if you're cool or warm. And then from there, we're looking, do you need like the clear, bright, more vivid, saturated tones, which would be like winter and spring? Or do you need like softer, blended, muted tones, which would be summer and autumn?
Okay. So I want to go back to where you and your sister are scrolling social media.
Mm-hmm.
You're both following this farmer's wife, Kylie.
Mm-hmm.
You see that she's associated with this UK-based company, House of Color.
Yep.
And you just kind of become interested in this concept.
We became interested. And my sister was like, do you want to do this? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, it's pretty expensive to go get that done. Like, it's a luxury service.
Sure.
For sure. It seems kind of frivolous, but I was like, I'm intrigued. So we did it for our birthdays. Little over two years ago now.
Where is Kylie based?
She was in Missouri. So she was like an hour from her hometown.
Wow. Okay. And you meet her, you're like, oh, this is it.
It was so cool. Like just going through the process myself, just to like see, like, okay, I was postpartum. I'd just been, you know, we just went through the pandemic. I was like not feeling that great.
100%.
Like kind of lonely, kind of depressed, honestly.
Yeah.
And just to like see myself like brighten up in the right colors, and even like I was working from home, like if I just put a sweatshirt on in that color, and just to see like just like the extra boost of confidence that brought
me. Yes,
it was so cool. And then that's kind of like what led me to like, I think I want to like bring this to the area and like help other people feel like this too.
Did your sister walk away feeling the same way you did?
She did. Yeah.
Okay.
We like both went all in.
So she also,
I mean, she didn't start a franchise like I did, but yeah, she started living by it. She adopted it. Yes.
Okay. But you went a step farther.
It was just like in the back of my mind. I'm like, I think this is something I could do. Like, this seems really cool.
What does your husband say?
He's always been like pretty supportive of it.
Okay.
He's like, I think this is like, if this is like an up and coming thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
then he's like, I think you should do it now versus like waiting.
100% when it gets
so he's really supportive. Yeah.
Okay, so you start this, you pay a fee.
Yeah, it's a franchise business. And so I pay a fee like for the territory and then also a training fee.
What's the territory you cover?
It's Champaign, Savoy, some of the smaller towns like around here.
Okay. Could I buy a part of Champaign?
No. You could be an associate with me.
Oh my God. Okay. So you own
Champaign.
Okay. Yep. No one can butt up into your area.
Right.
Who's the next closest?
My friend Krista in Normal is the next closest.
Yeah. Okay. So you really, I mean, you have a pretty good spread.
Mm-hmm.
And how busy are you with this company? Like, do you have to turn people away?
I'm going to have to, I don't like saying no, but I'm going to have to start doing that.
No way.
It is such a blessing. Okay. When I started, it was like, I had a few appointments, but it's like crickets. And I told my husband, I'm like, oh my gosh.
What have I
done? You know,
done?
I don't have my income anymore. I'm like, am I going to have to like try to sell seed for you? Because I don't think I want to do that. But like word of mouth and just like, I knew it would pick, like I had faith and it did like pick up. And so now, I mean, I'm booked all of April. This is the beginning of April right now. I mean, every month has been booking up the past several months. I'm booking into May, but I want to take more time with my kids this summer. And so I'm going to work less, but I don't like saying no. So I'm going to have the balance. Like,
what is the fear of saying no? And I had Nicole Gorman on last year about this time when she started to announce that she's taking the summer off. And I know your good friend at Kensington Cuts also is like, it gets Jill. So popular.
Yeah.
Jill Sullivan, like that you have to say no and you have to pull away. What does that feel like? The fear of saying no?
I think I just don't want to disappoint people.
Okay.
But also like, I know what this experience brought to me. And so turning that down for somebody else is hard.
Or
pushing it back.
Are you worried about losing your momentum?
A little bit.
Yeah. But you're going to have to close your books for the summer.
I'm not totally closing. I'm going to work a few days a week.
What do you work now?
I work typically when my kids are in school. So like 9 to 2, I see clients. And then I don't have a full work day. So like oftentimes after they go to bed, I'm still like doing some admin stuff like after they're asleep. Because I don't have a full work day. Because I like want to be intentional about spending that time with them because I know I'm not going to get that back.
Could you have clients every day of the week?
Yes, I think so.
Oh my God. And it's an expensive service.
It is. But it's really like truly like the confidence that it brings you and the transformation that somebody goes through. Like,
and you really have to do it once.
You have to do it once. Yeah. And then you're so much more intentional about like what you're buying.
And so the flip side of that is, in theory, you should save money.
You will save money, yes.
And when you're buying clothes.
Mm-hmm. It'll be easier to get ready.
Yeah.
Your makeup, your clothing, your jewelry, it's all going to go together. It's going to harmonize. It's going to look great together when you're shopping in your color palette.
Can you say how much the service is?
Yes. So an individual service is $285.
Okay.
And then if you come with a group, it's $260.
Okay.
So it comes with like you get a color fan. Those are expensive. Like that's a cost
sure.
of the service. And then also a booklet of information too.
And then you did our makeup abbreviated.
Right.
Because you believe, and you know, you get to be your stay-at-home mom and you get to like wear sweatshirts and leggings and you kind of just fall into this habit of not putting yourself together.
Right.
Like you said, post-pandemic, post-kids, you're not feeling yourself, but like, your mantra is, I mean, just lipstick, if nothing else.
If nothing else, just add that pop of color.
And you figure out a lipstick at the end of the session.
Yep, we try in different lipsticks.
Because there's a makeup line.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then we also briefly discussed our archetype for our wardrobes, like our style.
Yeah, so style analysis is another service.
Okay.
Which is dressing. You learn how to dress like your body type, your shape of your body, like we're all just made up of shapes. So we look at that and how to dress it, but also dressing your personality too.
Okay.
Like who you are to reflect who you are.
And we didn't do the style session. You didn't offer it at that time, but we briefly kind of discussed what we thought we were.
Right.
So you could do both in one day.
You could do both in one day.
Okay. Yeah. And it's dramatic, classic, natural. And I put her on the spot too. Do these before romantic and then okay say the other two
ingenue and gamine
What are Anjaneugamine?
So these are all archetypes. All of these types of people are out in the world. We need all these people. So I guess all those others are, you can kind of like understand what those sure. are. Ingenue is like very feminine.
Oh, okay.
Like girly, like lace bows.
Got
very
it.
Neat, put together.
Okay.
And then what was the other one? Gamine.
Gamine.
Yeah, that's like modern, fun.
Mm.
Somebody who would look good in like androgynous type clothing. Like,
okay.
Gamines like bring the fun. They're like the fun, wow. cheeky sidekick.
Okay, what are you?
Most people are a mix of two archetypes.
Okay.
I'm a dramatic classic.
Okay. 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 Wow. Okay. So can we go back to when you started? This is a UK company. And to start it, did you just simply email someone?
Oh, I think there was like a application or something to fill out.
Okay. And then what happens? You pay and you go to a training?
Well, there was interviews. Like I had to be approved. I had to do a couple interviews.
Wow. And then they choose you.
And then you pay. And then you go to training.
Okay. Yeah. And from there, you have to do your social media. Do you believe that's like the best way to get your name out?
I don't. I think it's just word of mouth and people who go through the experience themselves. I don't really like social media.
Yeah, same. It seems like another job.
It does.
It's but you feel stressful. Pressure to do it.
You do.
Yeah. Conferences?
Yep. We have a conference once a year.
And that you go to.
That I go to.
And yep. What's that like meeting others?
It's so cool because everyone is just like, they're wearing their best colors. They're wearing their best style of clothing. They're just like uniquely themselves. And it's so cool.
We kind of likened this to a sorority because there's certain standards you have to follow. So what are those standards? Like you have to present yourself in a certain way.
I mean, I just need to be myself.
Okay.
And living in my colors and my clothing personality. But, we're just kind of protecting people's territory. So like, I mean, I can do things in my territory, but if we go outside of that, we just need permission.
Okay. Okay. And like media, you need permission ideally. Mm-hmm. Gosh. Yep. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. Okay.
It's usually okay. It's just like, hey, this is.
Yeah. You just have to let them know.
I'm going on CI Living or.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be on this podcast.
Is this an MLM?
No, it's a franchise.
When you said company, I could be your associate, what does that mean?
That would be like. On my terms, if somebody, I would have to like have you work with me and like you could run your own business, but it would be, since I own the territory, you would
okay.
be like under me, but I'm not like actively yeah. out recruiting. Everybody should do
sure,
this. You know?
Sure.
No,
sure.
No.
It's not like a Tupperware.
It's not
situation.
Nope.
Okay. Okay. So men, do you think that men should do this?
I think everybody can do this.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm starting to get a lot more male clients too.
You are
like people are bringing their husbands in.
Are they quieter in the chair? Or are they enjoying
some
it?
Some of them really enjoy it. They do.
I can see bridal parties, bachelorettes, mom-daughter situations. Mm-hmm. I went with a couple girlfriends. And it was, I mean, it's a day. Like, you gave food and drinks. And it was awesome. Very awesome. And you can also buy makeup if you want to when you leave. So what do you feel like House of Color has brought to you as a person?
I think confidence overall and like in who I am and just allowing me to like run my own business. Like that's super cool. Never thought I would do that. And like the people that I get to meet, like the clients that come in, meeting so many different types of people. And it's brought me like so many opportunities like this. I never thought I'd be in a podcast. Never thought I would get asked to like speak to groups or corporate groups about like what I'm doing and offering color and style tips to people. Like, so cool.
Is your style different? Are you more put together than you were 5 years ago?
Yes, I think so. But I think it's just narrows down to like, this is it. And this is what works for me. And I know like what doesn't work for me.
Yeah. What would you always avoid? Are you ever in like sweats?
I am. Yeah. I probably shouldn't be, but
color coordinated, I'm sure.
Yes. I'm not going to do like floral prints, ditzy, lace.
Yeah.
Bows. Like that's not me.
What are your kids?
I know
think
that now, but not in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. When I started the podcast, my kids kind of looked at me differently. Do your kids look at you differently? Especially because your store is in your home.
It is.
So do they look at you differently with a different respect?
I think so. They're so little, but I think they do like respect what I do. I think that they see that I have like such a passion for this and for helping people and building them up. And so I think they know that.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the next steps for you? Do you feel like? You think you'll keep growing this?
Potentially, yeah. It would be cool to have somebody else work with me.
An associate.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Nicole? Do you think I forgot anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. You were a little bit nervous coming in. Do you feel better going out?
I think so. Did I do okay?
Are you going to listen to this when it comes out?
Maybe.
Well, you sound great. I think you did great. I think you did great. Have you met any really good friends doing this?
Yes. I've met so many people.
Yeah.
Like that have become friends or like acquaintances that I've gotten closer with after, you know, doing their colors or style or whatever it is. And like, it's just such like a transformative process. Like I've had people cry in the chair.
Really?
Like one client was like, she started crying. She's like, I just haven't felt this beautiful since having kids. And then I'm like starting to tear up because I'm like, I can so relate to that.
Yeah.
I have clients where they're like, oh my gosh, my mom liked this color on me. And, you know, maybe their mom has passed away. And so then they're just tearing up over that. Or like my grandma loved this color. And, you know, that's one of their best colors. And so they're tearing up. I have people that, I mean, this happens a lot where people, it's hard to look in the mirror at yourself, like we said. And they're kind of just like looking away and just like relying on me to like tell them. But then we're like putting the makeup on and like going through all of their ratings and seeing all their colors on them at the end. And then they leave and they're like, thank you for helping me feel beautiful. And it's just like, it's just so rewarding.
Wow. You become almost like a little bit of a therapist.
Yes. In the chair. Yeah.
Do you know,
get to hear some cool stories too.
Do you know how many people have come through your chair? Because you haven't done this that long.
Not that I feel like long. I have over 300.
I mean, I feel like we were like
350 maybe.
You
were in the very beginning.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to come back now that you have headbands.
Yeah.
And
see
and do the styling.
Yeah. That is really fun. Come for that.
Is there any general tips that you could give?
Okay.
That like is seasonless. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we talked about having your natural hair color. I would say always wear the lipstick.
Oh yeah.
Because people pay more attention to our words when we're wearing lipstick.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Women are perceived as more confident and in control when they're wearing lipstick. Lots of studies on that actually. And then I would say, choose navy over black.
Wow.
Cause black only belongs to one season.
Yes.
And navy, everybody's got a certain version of navy. So you're more likely to get it right if you choose navy, and it's not as harsh on a lot of people as black can be. Okay, another like a style tip. Okay, never buy something on sale that you wouldn't pay full price for.
Yeah.
Like, you want something to rate an 8, 9, or 10 when you're buying it. Like you're putting that on and you want to feel good in it, you know? Mm. When you're like trying it on, you're doing a little dance. Because if the most exciting thing about something is the price, then like that's gonna sit in your closet. You're probably not gonna wear it if you don't feel good in it. So
that's a good tip. I think I asked you this when we got this done. Is there a good season for orange? Because we're an orange and blue town.
We are. So autumns are the season that gets orange.
Okay. Because that's a tough color.
It is. Oh, gosh. Yeah. When you go into that stadium, it's like a lot of people in there.
It doesn't orange make probably people look very good.
It doesn't. I can't wear orange. No. So I get it.
So go to the Navy.
Go to the Navy with orange accents.
Okay. That's great.
Unless you're in autumn, you can do head to toe orange.
That's yeah. Okay. And then in terms of clothing, the styling portion, is there something we should avoid structurally?
It depends on your body architecture.
Okay. So you'll kind of look at us and we'll have a discussion on my style and then my body type, mm-hmm. you can see. And there we go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Okay, I've learned a lot. I'm going to wear lipstick. I am trying to do that more because it also like your color fades in your lips as you get older.
It does. A little blush helps too.
Yeah, a little blush. Mm-mm. Okay. Nicole, you did great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Tell me how people can find you.
House of Color on Instagram. Color is spelled with a U. Mm. So House of Color _ Champagne.
Okay.
I'm also on Facebook.
Oh, you are. Okay.
House of Color Champagne.
Okay. Thank you, girl.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. However your podcast host of choice allows, please positively rate, review, comment, and give all the stars. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, share, and ring that notification bell so you know when the next episode drops. Also, search and follow Hyperlocal CU on all social media. If I forgot anything or you need me, visit my website at hyperlocalcu.com. Bye!